Welcome back here on the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Soren Petro here with you as we are live at Nick and Jake's, the spot for the Masters. 20 TVs everywhere. We're here at 135th and Metcalf. You can take advantage of it. They got parties going on at all of them. Shawnee on Midland and the one in Parkville as well. Every eagle made on holes 13 and 15 from 2 to 5. Every person in the bar gets a $10 Nick and Jake's gift card. Take advantage of it. For over 20 years, they've been serving up the same sandwiches at the price they do in Augusta, wrapped in the same green cellophane. Feel like you're at the Masters with the pimento cheese sandwich. The sandwiches are offered today through Sunday from 2 to 5, so take advantage of that. The Masters Club, $3. Ham and cheese, $2. Pimento cheese, $1.50. Egg salad, $1.50. All sandwiches come with a small side of homemade potato chips as well, so take advantage of that. Got great drink specials as well here at Nick and Jake's. It is the Masters party going on all weekend long. We're here till 6 o'clock. Come on out and say hello. Let's talk some Masters golf. The author of Drive, The Lasting Legacy of Tiger Woods, is Bob Herrig, former writer for Sports Illustrated and ESPN, has penned a great book about Tiger Woods. Let's welcome him to the program. Bob, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, thanks. I appreciate you having me.
I appreciate you talking to us. And tell me, the first thing I always like to know when somebody, I know the time and effort and energy and passion and love that goes into writing a book, you had to feel something that moved you that said, this is what I want to write about. Why this book about Tiger Woods written this way?
Yeah, well, I think what it was, frankly, was the 2019 Masters win. You know, I think it was probably his best win. It might have been his greatest triumph. I mean, he wasn't the same Tiger who won the first 14 majors. He wasn't that guy. That guy was, you know, expected to win most of the time. In fact, and almost always did. But in 2019, things had changed quite a bit. He had been through a very, very serious back surgery that many thought would end his career, and he didn't know what it was going to do. It was done for quality of life issues, not for golf issues. And the fact that he came back from that to have a great 2018 and then win the 2019 Masters, I thought, was worth exploring and getting into the ins and outs of how it all came to pass. And, of course, as I did that, I realized, you know, really that's Tiger's career. It's not just about the great skill and effort and talent that he has, which, of course, would have probably carried him to a lot of wins anyway. But he needed that extra drive to get through to accomplish some of the things that he's done.
He is certainly a driven guy to no amount, certainly a competitive guy. We find that out about all the great champions out there, just about how relentless they are in competing. You know, where does that come from? How does somebody find that? I know his father was an athlete. K-State's very, he was a baseball player at K-State. So I know, but lots of people had dads that were athletes. Where does that drive, that ruthless competitive nature that Tiger Woods has always possessed? Where does that come from?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I think his dad had a lot to do with it, probably. I think his upbringing in the game, he was not the traditional golfer who comes up through means, frankly. You know, he didn't have a country club lifestyle. He didn't have a lot of things afforded him. His dad made it possible, did everything he could, and his mom, to give him every opportunity. But Tiger didn't play on great courses as a kid. He didn't necessarily have the best instruction, although he got a lot of instructors over time. I mean, he kind of just had to do it on his own. And I think there was a singularness about him, probably. He, for the longest time, Tiger was very much a loner. And I think he built up a resolve, you know, and that probably has a lot to do with it.
Yeah, if Tiger Woods were white and grew up on country clubs, he wouldn't have been the player he is. Is that fair to say?
Well, I mean, he might have been a very, very good player because he has incredible talent, you know, and talent's going to take you a long way. But it doesn't take you all the way. There's plenty of people with lots of talent who squander it, you know, and Tiger had the work ethic and sort of the insular motives to just keep pushing. And it's not just in things like coming back from a surgery. It's like having the willpower to make 142 straight cuts. Human nature suggests I'm going to have a bad day once in a while. I'm going to miss a cut. And he didn't miss a cut for 7 years. You know, I mean, things like that that aren't part of the top of the record book are still amazing about him anyway.
Bob Herrig is with us. He wrote for Sports Illustrated, ESPN. His new book is called Drive, The Lasting Legacy of Tiger Woods. Tell me how much of the, you know, you use the term legacy, that's not just your records, right? He clearly goes beyond his golf accomplishments. If he had done everything he did exactly how he did it, and he were the traditional white golfer that you know, probably grew up on country clubs, as most of them did, how much would the buzz of Tiger Woods, how much would the legacy of Tiger Woods be smaller? How much was it that he came from a different part, he looked different? How much of that is part of what has made him such a superstar?
It's a good question, because I've wondered myself, if everything about him had been the same, but he wasn't a minority, would he have gotten the same attention? I mean, I think in some ways he would have. Because, the way Tiger hit the ball, you know, the lengths that he hit it, the skills that he had at such a young age, I think those things would have still stood out. You know, I mean, he was a phenom, you know, he's 10, 12 years old. I mean, he was well known in golf circles already. He was winning a lot. So if everything had been the same, I think that still means that Tiger would have been a figure that was followed greatly. But being a minority, being African American, a black golfer, winning the Masters, which had a not so pleasant racial history, that changed things to me. You know, there's great scenes of the 97 Masters where at that time, Augusta National still had an all black wait staff. There was nobody inside the clubhouse who waited on anyone. This is 1997, who wasn't black. And those people looked at Tiger as, you know, an amazing figure. And there's photos and remembrances of some of the workers standing out on the balcony as he teed off in the final round in 1997. You know, Tiger was going to win. He had a 9-shot lead starting that last round. He wasn't going to blow it. And it still had one of the highest ratings of any golf tournament round ever, even though he won by 12. There was no drama, but people wanted to watch. And so I do think that aspect played a role.
I wonder, you know, to me, part of it was there were people that rooted against Tiger. Listen, they're all great, but there are people that rooted against Michael Jordan. There are people that rooted against Larry Bird, not to make it, you know, all black athletes. But you mentioned the old guard and some of the history, not so distant history of golf, where there were probably people that rooted against him. And I think that also added to the people that rooted for him, people that maybe were like, golf, whatever, were like, whoa, wait a minute. You're going to root against this guy? Well, then I'm Team Tiger. And I think that did add to it and did build, because there's no doubt he reached out beyond golf fans, right? Like, you know, I wasn't a golf fan. I would watch the majors because it was my job, and that's what we would talk about. But if on Saturday or Sunday I'm flipping through the channels or I see online that Tiger's, you know, up towards the top, I would watch a regular golf tournament. And, you know, that brought me in because I wanted to root for Tiger because he was different, because he was knocking down the old guard. Like, I think it was a huge part of what drew people, because I know it drew me.
No doubt. Tiger drew in a more robust and casual audience. You know, golf is a niche sport. It has a hardcore group of fans. It appeals to advertisers because of the demographics, but it's always thought to bring in more of the masses, and Tiger did that. The question is did he drag enough of them along to keep watching or to keep being interested, or are they only interested because of him? And I think there's a lot of interest just because of him. You know, even to this day, I think people will watch the Masters because he's playing in it. If he weren't playing in it, they might not. Now, a lot of sports fans are casual major fans, and they'll watch the majors regardless. But Tiger did help bring a bigger audience to the game. I think he made golf cool. He made it cooler for younger people to grasp and to want to get into. In other words, as an alternative to basketball and baseball and football, well, I can play golf. That's a cool sport. He made training part of it. It wasn't just for, you know, for anybody to play golf. He kind of showed a way of being in shape and all those things. So, yeah, definitely. And, you know, the question or the quest has been to keep more of those people on board, even when he's not around.
Yeah. And I don't think the retention is never 100% when you bring something new to it. You know, like we see it all the time. Oh, poker was a craze. Everybody was playing poker. Well, there are more people playing poker now than there were 20 years ago, but not where it was at its peak, right? Everything kind of ebbs and flows. We see it with baseball cards. Every 20 years, I get a group of people that are like, oh, God, I'm a collector. And then for 15 years, I don't hear anything, right? Everything ebbs and flows, but are you growing it? He certainly grew the game. You mentioned the working out. How much of his athleticism, how much of it was, you know, and I don't know what all he did in other sports because we have video of him as a child. You know, I know Jack Nicklaus was a very good athlete at other sports. How much was his athleticism, you know, or am I totally wrong? But he looks the part when he stands there in a sweater. You're like, good Lord. Like, that guy looks like he's a strong safety or maybe an outside linebacker. How much of that it created not only his ability, but also, you know, the fact that people went, wow, that guy looks cool.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, Tiger kind of showed another way in that regard, you know, getting fit might help your golf. And he became someone that, you know, golf could be proud of, you know. I mean, look, it's not to pick on anybody, but there's been plenty of good golfers who, you know, probably, you know, the closest they got to a gym was walking by it in the hotel, you know. I mean, and yet they still were very, very good. But I think you see less of that. I think most of the top-level golfers today have a fitness regimen that they're part of. And a lot of that can go back to Tiger. You know, you need to be flexible. You need to have endurance to walk these courses, especially if you have rain or weather issues in which you have to play multiple holes in one day. You know, the golf swing, Tiger's the best example of that. You know, you need your legs in the golf swing. When they get tired, it's harder to swing the club properly. You know, there's preventative fitness to help make your back stronger, your lower back stronger to prevent injury. So, and, you know, I think Tiger was, you know, a big part of it. Now, look, there are other players before him that did that, certainly, but I don't think it was ever with the same sort of focus and intensity that we've seen from him.
Bob Herrig's with us. His book is called Drive, The Lasting Legacy of Tiger Woods. If he doesn't have the injuries and he doesn't have the crash, I've wondered if, you know, listen, he was getting older. He was slowing down. We all do. If he comes up short, if he's healthy the whole way and he comes up short of Jack Nicklaus, would that have slowed down the Tiger Woods phenomenon more than, you know, the crash? It's almost, I'm not saying it's an excuse. He obviously didn't want to have a crash. He didn't want to have injuries like he had. But was that kind of the, you know, Mickey Mantle, some people say Mickey Mantle's the best ever. Well, the injuries, God, if he hadn't been hurt, and if Ted Williams hadn't been in the war, you know, in some ways, the fact that they didn't get a chance to have all their years and do it all, they're celebrating even more. Does Tiger benefit from that?
It's possible that he does. He definitely has been sort of a more revered figure later in his career because people saw him fall down. You know, I think he became easier to root for as someone who was no longer on top, but trying to get there. Whereas if he'd have just maintained that this whole way, who knows how he'd be viewed? You know, if he'd have never had any injuries or never had the scandal, you know, and didn't miss any majors, would he have been seen the same way? I mean, Tiger had his personality changed. You know, he became more appreciative of what he had. He certainly recognized that he needed to probably have more affection for people who were following him after all the things that had happened. If those things don't happen, is he as popular? I don't know. That's a great question. You know, some of that has been earned over time due to all the difficulties that he's been through.
I was of the opinion that when his marital transgressions came to light, that was really going to harm his legacy for lack of a better term. We'll use your word. In the end, did it, or did it make him more popular? Did it make him more human? Was he more identifiable?
Well, he was definitely more identifiable, but I'm not sure it made him more popular everywhere. They're still segmenting people today. I get it all the time. Why are you covering this guy? They talk about the scandal. They talk about, you know, the fact that, you know, they think that he was on performance-enhancing drugs. Look, you know, was he? I have no idea. He's never tested positive. You know, I mean, the car crash, they blame him for it. We have no evidence whatsoever that occurred due to any negligence on his part. It could have. There's no drug. There's no, you know, police report that says so. There was no blood test taken. You know, so there is a lot of negative that still surrounds him. But, you know, I look at it from the standpoint of, yeah, we are all fallible. We all make mistakes. He's made a ton. And yet he's come back from that. And even just competing now after that car crash from 3 years ago is remarkable. You know, he doesn't need to. He doesn't need to play anymore. I mean, his career numbers are set. But yet he keeps trying, and I think there's something to be said for that.
Bob Herrig is with us. The book is called Drive, The Lasting Legacy of Tiger Woods. Time for our final four. It's brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System, the official healthcare provider of the Kansas City Royals. Get care from the experts, the Royals Trust, to make the right call. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/royals. Four quickies, Bob. Just a couple of words, maybe a sentence for each one of these. Tell me, would Tiger Woods have beaten Jack Nicklaus without the injuries, his majors record?
Yes.
Yes, I think so too.
He would have. I think he would have had so many more chances. I think he would have done it.
Will anyone break it now that Tiger looks like he won't?
No chance. I don't think anybody will get to 10.
Yeah.
You know, if somebody could ever get to 10 majors, that would be a remarkable feat.
Does the LIV Golf Tour succeed?
Not as it exists exactly today.
Okay.
I think they need the PGA Tour's acceptance for them to be successful.
Okay. I've never seen a worse merger than whatever that was. We'll see how that shakes out in the long run. All right, finally, who you got winning it this year?
I'm going with Hideki Matsuyama.
Okay.
You know what? There's not been many of the star players playing great this spring. I think Scottie Scheffler's obviously got a great chance. He's playing really, really well. But the favorites don't always win. Matsuyama's won before, just like Scheffler. And, you know, I think his game is in a good spot right now.
Bob, thanks so much for the time. We really appreciate it. Congratulations on the book, and hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to you on down the road.
Sounds great. I appreciate you having me.
All right, the Joe's Kansas City Barbecue burnt end of the hour answer. Only two golfers in the last...
Only two. People think there's 50.
Two.
Not
nope.
True. Only two.
Nope. But there are 50 years in this question.
Okay.
Two golfers in the last 50 years have won the Masters wire to wire. I asked for either one.
Tiger Woods.
Nope.
Of course, did it three times. And,
one was in the last decade.
Sam Snead.
One was in the last decade. One was during my childhood.
Tom Watson?
Nope. I'll give you the years.
By the way, big cheer here at Nick and Jake's. They show Tom Watson with the always one of the legendary golfers starts it with the opening drive, and Tom Watson blasted one right down the middle. And a big cheer here at Nick and Jake's, where we are right now. I'll get to your question in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
But we're at Nick and Jake's, where we have already given away one gift card. We had an eagle on 13.
By Minwoo Lee.
Minwoo Lee, who's not having much of a day, but he had a day on that hole.
He was two over going into that hole. He was three over. He's steadily chipping away. He was four over through seven. So he's now down to even par through 13. But the eagle helps.
Fighting his way back, by the way. Tiger Woods, one under through 13. Is that right? Or is he in 13th place? He's not that far. He's only like three or four holes in.
Yeah.
He's one under. Bryson DeChambeau, your leader at seven under. I haven't forgotten about the question. I'm stalling.
No, you're good.
We're at Nick and Jake's. You can come on out. Great drink specials. All kinds of great cocktails. You can win a golf bag, people. Scan the QR code. You can be walking away with a beautiful golf bag, the Yingling Flight Wilson golf bag. Check out some of the traditional Masters cocktails. How about the Butler Cabin? cocktails, a whole big selection. One of them, the Grapefruit Mule. This is Curtis's first choice, the Tito's Vodka, simple syrup, ginger beer, fresh squeezed grapefruit juice, and a lime wedge, plus all your traditional Masters eats and treats. In fact, today, every day the Masters going on, today, tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday, from 2 to 5, you can get any one of the Masters traditionals, ham and cheese sandwich, $2.
I'll
Masters food at Masters prices from 2 to 5 every day during the tournament. So come on by, and you know, even if you don't get by here till after 5, everybody's here watching the golf, having a good time. At Nick and Jake's, northeast corner of 135th. By the way, all these specials are good at all three Nick and Jake's. So whether it's here in Overland Park or Shawnee on Midland Drive or up in Parkville, I got you covered. The Masters is the centerpiece here. All right, enough stalling. I'm going to go with Lee Trevino.
No. You want the 2 years?
Yes.
2015, 1976.
Bubba Watson?
Nope.
Brooks Koepka?
Nope.
Who was in that range? Not John Rahm.
He was young.
He was young? Spieth?
Jordan Spieth.
Nailed
2015.
It.
2015. The other one, Raymond Floyd in 76. Three others have done it. Jack Nicklaus in 1972. Arnold Palmer in 1960. Craig Wood, I'm assuming, used his driver to great effect that day in 1941. Or that year.
That weekend. Wait, but how come there are only two answers?
The last 50 years have been two.
Oh, the last
three others have been. Yeah, Nicklaus in 72, Palmer in 60, Craig Wood in 41.
Wire to wire, which will not have, by that you mean leading at the end of each day.
Yep.
Okay. Not like DeChambeau took over from Fox and whatnot.
It's led at the end of all four rounds.
7 under for DeChambeau. He's in. He's done. Willett, 4 under, is done. Hovland is on 9. He's at 4 under. And then Clark and Fitzpatrick at 3 under. They're on the course at 9 and 12, respectively. Remember, if somebody drops in an eagle at 13 or 15, you'll hear this place erupt. And everybody gets a $10 gift card to Nick and Jake's. Yeah. Got to be here. They hand them out if you're here. You get one. If you're not here, you don't get one. Don't come in and like, oh, I didn't get mine.
Can't win if you don't play.
Because Jen will come down and slap you silly.
She will, and she'll be well within her rights.
Don't think Kevin's the boss. Jen's the boss.
Yes.
We know that.
He knows that.
We've seen how it works.
He knows that. Nobody knows that better than Kevin.
No. The Tiger Woods phenomenon is real. We were just talking with Bob Herrig about it, his new book, Drive, because when Tiger teed off on one, when he dropped a birdie in on one, this place erupted.
It did. We thought at first, well, was that an eagle? Oh, no, just Tiger birdieing one.
Yeah, just Tiger birdieing one. We've heard a number of different cheers that go up here. Biggest party on this side of Augusta for the Masters is right here at Nick and Jake's. By the way, this guy waving around his gift card in somebody else's face who wasn't here.
This is one of those places, literally, if you do not care about golf at all, if you come here and watch this,
you'll enjoy it.
It is a great time. And you might end up liking golf, but this is so much fun.
Timmons has got all kinds of different featured holes. Got the main broadcast featured holes, like we got 13 up there so we can see if anybody rolls one in there. We got 13 and 15 ISO, so you can keep an eye on those. But it's a great setup for it. But Tiger rolls in that birdie. Our eruptions have been for Tom Watson starting the tournament. They replayed him starting the tournament this morning. That got a big cheer. The eagle got a big cheer, which, by the way, took a couple of eagle-eyed patrons here. Nobody saw it, and they went up and said, "You got to check this out. I think we have another one."
Are we getting close?
No, I think somebody just dropped one in.
Let's see.
Somebody might be watching on their phone, and they're a little bit ahead of what we're seeing. Another one? Timmons. Timmons going to the wallet right now. We got another one. We'll figure out who it is. But another eagle, so everybody's getting $10. And by the way, there's a lot of people in here.
It is quite a few.
There's a lot of people in here, and everybody's getting a $10 gift card to Nick and Jake's. There it is. That's official. We saw it up here on the TV here. Is it Will Zalatoris? Curtis? Try Will Zalatoris.
Okay.
I think he might have been the one that dropped in the eagle. But to the point on Tiger Woods, I mean, it's amazing. The guys.
Yes. It was Will Zalatoris.
Yeah.
Eagle 13.
Will Zalatoris. Eagles 13.
We've got two.
But, you know, Tiger Woods just dropped in a par on the second hole. People are cheering.
Yes.
I mean, it's amazing.
He is still that figure. He is still someone who transcends his sport.
And always will. Do you agree with me what I said there with Bob, that the fact that he got hurt, right, and I'll talk to David Faraday about this. He's coming up next. But the fact that he got hurt, he's going to come up short of Nicklaus, it certainly looks like. But he got hurt, and so those that wanted to believe he was going to break it can believe that.
Yes.
That actually added to his legacy, as opposed to had he played out his entire career and not got there. Now he's the guy we always wonder. How many home runs could Mickey Mantle have hit if he hadn't been hurt? How many home runs would Ted Williams have hit if he hadn't gone and fought in two wars?
Yeah.
Like, that does add to Tiger Woods. And I do think the car crashes, frankly, the infidelity, like, I think that adds to it as well. I mean, I think it turns some people off, but it's also like, he's a real guy.
Yes.
It makes him more identifiable to some.
It adds to the overall personality of Tiger Woods and the legend. But, yeah, it's easy to fill in the blanks. You can't be proven wrong. If you're a Tiger Woods guy, you think he would have ended up with 20, no one can say, oh, he wouldn't have. Maybe he would have.
Yeah.
That possibility is always out there that you can elevate him above because of what he would have done. He certainly will benefit from that in history, since it doesn't look like he's going to catch him, certainly.
And frankly, it doesn't look like anybody is.
But it's also like, what would Bo Jackson have done had he not gotten hurt? He would have rushed for 15,000 yards and hit 500 home runs. We don't know that. But you can picture that in your mind because he was taken away from the sports right at the physical peak.
You know, what would the acting career have been of River Phoenix of recent years? But who was that? The Rebel Without a Cause. James Dean.
James Dean. Yeah.
James Dean was the first one. Like, what would he have done? I don't know. Maybe nothing. Maybe he'd have been the Rob Lowe of his day.
Drake and I were
911 TV shows.
Drake and I were discussing during one of the breaks John Lennon versus Paul McCartney. I mean, John Lennon will always be 40 years old. He'll always be that guy forever. He didn't get a chance to write sappy love songs in 1985.
Yeah.
Kurt Cobain. There's lots of those guys. You fill that in. Tiger Woods, certainly, because of that pocket. He got so close, you can fill in the rest.
Yeah, and Tiger didn't die. We're aware of that, people.
Yes.
Just to reiterate. But it's kind of like that get-out-of-jail-free card.
Mm-hmm.
If you wanted to believe Tiger Woods was the best of all time, he was going to break Nicklaus's record. This is a big one for him, though. I mean, I'll give him credit for playing this one because he could have sat it out, waited until he got healthier, or just stayed with the tie. Oh, well, what if he was healthy? He was never healthy. But the 26 consecutive cuts made, he's putting it on the line, going for 27 and trying to break the record, which is, I heard some of the commentary on Van Pelt's SportsCenter. They're like, you know, what would be a successful tournament? And they're like, playing on Sunday. Because he would have broken the record of consecutive cuts, and also would just show that he could play a whole round.
Yes, which I think he talked about the fact that the ankle's fine, but everything else hurts. He has to make up for the ankle with everything else. You do kind of wonder, does he begin to fade at the end of not even tomorrow, but the end of today? How does he feel on the ninth hole tomorrow? Is it start to fade away? And even if he gets through the cut, if he makes the cut this week with all that in front of him, I think that's
I agree.
And the polite golf applause certainly goes his way.
By the way, you heard another little cheer. Scotty Scheffler chipped in for a birdie, out of the trap, chipped in for a birdie, taking himself down to 3 under. So he's now tied for third. Scotty Scheffler, the betting favorite, the overwhelming favorite in this tournament, is making a little bit of noise. He chips in from the sand trap, I think on 12, but I'm not sure.
Yes,
on 12.
Yes.
So he goes to 3 under.
The world is at 3 under. What's that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 golfers at 3 under.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's.
They're all at various spots in the course, though.
Yeah, and again, they're all chasing Bryson DeChambeau at 7 under. He posted a 65. Danny Willett also in the clubhouse at 68. So that's where we sit. All right, let's take a break. We'll talk a little more golf. David Faraday scheduled to join us, color analyst for Live Golf, one of the most entertaining analysts you're going to find.
Oh, my
controversial figure because he left for Live Golf. Get his thoughts on this merger. We're seeing LIV golfers here now playing in the Masters, but we're not really seeing an actual merger going on. Get his thoughts on exactly what's going on with LIV Golf. Who does he think is going to win? And just what's going on in him. He played like a comedy show last night in Augusta. So we'll talk a little golf here as we come back with David Faraday. We're live at Nick and Jake's, the biggest party this side of Augusta, Georgia, for the Masters, is here at Nick and Jake's. Three locations. We're at 135th and Metcalf. Come on out and say hello. Welcome back here in the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB as we broadcast live at Nick and Jake's for the big Masters party. Every year, Kevin Timmons and Nick and Jake's put on the biggest party in golf. If you're looking for a great spot, if you want to feel like you're at the Masters with authentic Masters sandwiches, Masters cocktails, plus giving away a $10 gift card all the time throughout, all you got to do is keep your eye on 13 and 15. Every eagle made on 13 and 15 from 2 to 5, you're going to walk away with a free $10 gift card to Nick and Jake's. It's good at all three locations. We're here at 135th. The Metcalf, stop on by and say hello. Let's say hello to a man who knows a little something about the game of golf. David Faraday joins us, golf announcer for LIV Golf. David, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Art.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It's great to talk to you. And first of all, tell me about, I know you're traveling out of Augusta right now. You had a big, basically, show, your off-tour show, where you do a little, little comedy, little golf stories and history. How'd it go?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah, it went well. You know, it was a nice crowd last night at the Imperial Theater in downtown Augusta. You know, my demographic, you know, 40 to 90 white drunken people.
Yeah, it's a great, it's a target-rich environment, right? Like, I love it.
Yeah.
What made you, listen, people know you've been one of the most popular golf announcers probably ever, let's be honest. What made you say, hey, because everyone I talk to who's ever spent any time away from, spent time with you away from, you know, the television, talks about how great your stories are, how funny you are. Like, I know a million people have told you you should do this. What probably inspired you to go ahead and say, okay, I'm going to do it?
Well, I was doing a made-for-TV thing in Ontario, Canada, and there was a promoter in the room, and he, you know, he promotes with Jeff Dunham and Larry the Cable Guy and other comedians, and he said that I should take a shot at it, and this is about 10 years ago, and we ended up doing one in Calgary and one in Edmonton, and a lot of people showed up, so it kind of just blossomed from there.
I have no doubt. And there's one, you got another one, you're doing one in Louisville, what, about 5 or 6 days?
Yeah.
That's fantastic. All right, let's talk a little bit about the Masters this weekend. First of all, it's another one. Everyone excited because we're getting the best of the PGA with the best of the LIV Tour. What do you expect out of the Masters this week?
Well, I was down there yesterday in the golf course. They just had a lot of rain, which makes it easier. You know, the longer Augusta plays, the easier it is for these guys because the ball hits and stops. When it's shorter and faster, you know, the ball will roll to all kinds of awkward places. You know, so, I mean, I think you got to look for, you know, one of the longer hitters, maybe a Brooks Koepka or Rory McIlroy, you know, that kind of thing, you know, to win this week.
Do you, what do you feel, you know, when you see Tiger Woods back on the golf course, just optimistic he can keep that cut streak going? Do you think there's any chance he can contend for a little while? What do you think of Tiger's ability to play the course? I'm not even going to say contend at this point in his career, but what do you think of his ability to play and maybe make the cut?
You know, it's such an unknown quantity, really is. He disappears down a rabbit hole for months at a time, and you know, he comes back. I don't know how strong his ankle is, and you know, but the only mistake I ever made about Tiger Woods is when I underestimated him. You know, so it wouldn't surprise me if he makes the cut and maybe even, you know, pops his head into the frame, you know, for a little bit anyway.
If he hadn't had the injuries, do you think he would have broken Nicklaus's record for most majors?
No, I don't. No, they just get harder and harder to win every year. These kids are so good, and there's so many of them. But I mean, you never know. He might have, you know, and right now, you know, people ask me who's the best golfer that ever played. You know, Tiger, nobody's ever played like Tiger Woods, but Jack Nicklaus is the greatest champion.
Yeah, that's a great one. Yeah, that's because not only all the first, but all the seconds he had as well.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
What makes Tiger Woods still such a draw? Why, I mean, he's huge. He, even now when he shows up without a chance to win, what makes him still such a huge draw?
I think it's because he's got so human. You know, and it's such a part of the story, whether he plays well or not. You know, it's just fascinating to see him.
We're talking to David Faraday here, handles the golf analysis for LIV, Live Golf. What do you think of the guys coming over from the Live Tour? Who do you think? You mentioned Koepka, obviously. How do you think they're going to fare? They did very well last year. Do you think it'll be you know, a great showing for them as well? And is it still the big rivalry in year two that it was in year one?
Yeah, I think it is. You know, we've got the defending champion, too, John Rahm, there. You know, I'd like to see one of our guys do well, that's for sure. You know, who else? We've got a couple of players who should be there that aren't, you know, the likes of Taylor Gooch and Louis Oosthuizen, you know, players that are just world class. But unfortunately, the way golf is at the minute, you know, they're not getting they're not getting the invites or the qualification means. So, it takes a little of the tournament, you know, away for me, you know, the fact that they don't get to play.
What do you think? You mentioned the state of golf right now. What do you think the future is between the two leagues? Do you think we're going to get, you know, a true merger? I mean, we had an announcement that there was a merger, but obviously the guys aren't all playing together. What do you think the future is?
Well, you're talking to somebody who should know. I mean, I'm the lead analyst.
Right.
And I don't. I don't have the first idea of how they're going to, you know, it's kind of a square peg and round hole situation. But, I mean, I'd like to see a future where people can play where they want, you know, like tennis, where you get your four majors and a couple of other big events and you know, players play in them and play wherever they want after that.
Yeah, I mean that's what we'd like. You know, what did we get? What was accomplished with, you know, it was a big announcement and everybody was talking about it for a week or two. But what has changed? Has anything changed at all?
No, I mean nothing has changed as far. Not, certainly not from our side. You know, we're just continuing to do you know, what we've done for the last 2.5 years. You know, and we've got no sign of change on our side, you know, on the horizon in the near future anyway. I think it'll be next year before anything significant happens. And what that is an unknown quantity.
Yeah, for sure. We're talking to David Faraday here, Live Golf analyst, one of the best when it comes to breaking down the golf, certainly the most entertaining when it comes to breaking down the golf. Why is the Masters, you know, Kevin Timmons here does his great, he loves the Masters. Every year he puts on this big party, and it's the place to be here in Kansas City. It's very special to him. It's special to so many others. Why is the Masters the tournament that seems to, you know, reach the heart of so many?
You know, it's the one major championship that comes back to the same venue every year. And people have just become so familiar with it over the years. It's like an old shoe that you kind of pull on and, you know, you're just used to it. People know every angle, you know, on the golf course. You know, and having said that, it sort of changes subtly every year. It's a little changes here and there. It's kind of a work in progress. And it's so incredibly beautiful. It's just like a botanical garden where a golf course broke out. It's such a special place. It really is. And I think people just love it for that.
Where does it rank as far as difficulty goes? You mentioned some of the challenges earlier. Where does it rank as far as difficulty amongst some of the other courses out there?
Well, a lot of it depends on the conditions. You know, if you play it hard and fast, it can be really, really difficult. You know, generally speaking, the slower it plays, the easier it is. You know, so that really determines how tough it is. But you know, if you get it on a windy day when it's playing quick, dear God, that can eat your lunch.
Yeah, no doubt. David Faraday's with us. Let's get to our final four. It's brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System. If you suffer an orthopedic injury in everyday life or playing sports, the University of Kansas Health System offers orthopedic walk-in care. They're there at 435 and all in Overland Park. Weekdays 8 to 7, Saturdays 8 to 2. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/orthopedics. David, I'll start you with this. Four quickies. Just give me a couple words, maybe a sentence for your answer. Who was your favorite interview?
Bill Russell, legend of a man, and he had an aura about him like Nelson Mandela, like a president of the United States. Maybe not one of the two that are running at the moment.
Yeah. Does Jack Nicklaus's record ever get broken? You said you didn't think Tiger would have done it had he stayed healthy. Does anybody ever break it?
No, I don't think so. It's too difficult these days. You know, too many great young players. Much too hard to win.
Okay. What's the best round you've ever shot?
61 in a blind hangover.
And finally, who wins it this week?
Brooks Koepka.
Yeah. Yeah, he shines at the majors, there's no doubt. David, thanks so much for your time. We appreciate it. Big fan of your work, and hopefully we get a chance to talk to you on down the road. Safe travels, my friend.
It's a pleasure, sir, anytime.
All right, what golfer has the most second-place finishes at the Masters without ever winning one? Brought to you by Good Sense.